Okay, we're going to start here on the Samachal from Manalip at the top of the Mishnah. So the last Mishnah in the Perek Rabbi Shmo. This Mishnah we quoted yesterday in the Gemara. Now we're going to see it, and it turns out to be interesting because Rashi commented on the Mishnah yesterday, and over here in the Mishnah itself, Rashi's commentary is soter what he said previously, and Tosos definitely takes issue with Rashi's change of heart here in the Mishnah. So, Mitaher Yino Shel Ovdei Kochavim. So we'll read it first, based on the way Rashi is reading, and then we'll come back and look what Tosfos's issues are. So Persis Mitaryan Osher of the Chavim, which we saw yesterday, means that he's doing the pressing and the taking care of the wine for the non-Jew in order to be sold to Jews. If the Goy gets involved, you have Maga Obed Chavim, then it cannot be sold to Jews. So he basically consigns it to a Jew who will take care of the processing of the wine and ensure that it can be sold to a Jew. But no Bishuto. When he puts it into his reshut, habatuach, the reshut harabim, places it into the goy's reshut, is open to the reshut harabim, be'ir sheyesh ba obdei kochavim v'yisraelim mutar. That when the location of the wine is open to the reshut harabim, and in that city, there are both Jews and non-Jews, mutar. Be'ir shekulo obdei kochavim. On the other hand, the city that is completely non-Jewish, asur, that doesn't work, ad, sheyoshiv, Shomer, that until he places a Shomer in that location, he doesn't have to be a permanent, right, that we go call Mashkiach Tmidi, but rather he has to be a VP, Yotzei V'Nichnas Mutar. And Yotzei V'Nichnas is sufficient over here, you just need what we call Mirtat. You need that the guy has a fear of acting here because he might be surprised by the Shomer coming in at some point in time. Correct. Rishim ben Elazar Omer, Rishut over the Chavim Achati. That the Gemara will discuss what Rishim ben Elazar is arguing on the Tanakam with and how he's addressing the Tanakam we'll get to in the second half of the daf today. Now, the question about when the objects are placed into the possession of the Goy, that is open the Rishut HaRabim, what exactly happened to those barrels? How are they protected? What's happening? Rashi makes a comment here, which is soter, what he said on yesterday's daf. It's the Rashi Mutar. The Rashi Mutar on the Mishnah says, the Mirta Le'ov de Chavim, the non-Jew is afraid, velo naga, and therefore he won't touch it. Damar Dilma Chazuli, Hanach Yisrael, maybe a Jew will see me. The Avrei Birshut Rabim was passing by, a Jew is passing by might see me. He sees me touching the wine, then I will lose out here. I'll lose out because now I can't sell it anymore to the Jews. I'll lose that ability, and I put all that effort in to do that. Mafsidno, and I'll lose. V'afilo, this is Rashi's Bechidish, Ein Mafteach V'chotam Shari. Or Chotam B'yado Shari. This is even though there is no key and seal in the hand of the Jew. I mean that there is no additional protection of the barrels, aside from the fact that they're placed in a location that's open to the Reshut HaRabim. Obviously, we're talking about a case where the goy has no lien on this wine, he has no claim on this wine. And this is where Rashi says, sorry, thank you, that is if he wrote to him, that I received from you the monetary compensation, which is the second half of the Mishnah, which is what we quoted yesterday in the Gemara, that when the wine is returned to the goy, as long as the Jew can go in there and take it at his will, and the guy says, you don't have to pay me any money, that he won't withhold it to get the money, then it's good. What Rashi does here, it says that the ratio of the Mishnah and the seifa of the Mishnah are one, and each comes to explain the other. The ratio of the Mishnah is telling you that you don't need mafteach v'chotam, and the seifa of the Mishnah is telling you that you need this kabbalah, or this ability to go in and access the wine freely without the guy stopping you. So Rashi says they're all one. Now what's amazing is that Rashi says here that you don't need a mafteach and a chotam biyodo. Rashi yesterday said, mutar, on the second half of the Mishnah says, im yesh mafteach o chotam biyad Yisrael. That's only true. It's towards the bottom of Samach, Amud Bet, where the Dalet in Gota Bach is, says, if he has a mafteach o chotam biyad Yisrael, then it works. But over here Rashi does not, it says, the Chiddush says he does not require a mafteach and a chutam. So now, if we read, we'll read the Sefer of the Mishnah, we'll see what the Bach says, and then onto the Tosafot. So then the next one is, the Materi, you know, Shelo de chavim is in the same case according to Rashi. It's explaining even the ratio. No b'shuto, he places in his possession. V'halav kotov lo, it's kabaltim chamaot mutar. So this is what we brought in the Gemara yesterday. If he signs a document basically saying as if he received the money already, the wine was done on consignment where the Jew will sell it and then repay the goy. The goy does not withhold the wine to get the money from the Jew. Then it's, he has free access to it. Then it's mutar. On the other hand, Israel lotzi. The other hand, if the Jew tries to access the wine and the goy withholds that or says to him, you can't, it doesn't allow him to go there until he pays the money.
Isn't it what the first
verse
says, that
the
son of the
it's an, as if. It's that, that's what we discussed yesterday. It's not that he actually paid him. He has it on consignment. He's going to sell it, and he has to give the cash to the goy. So the goy, when he writes here, it's zip he paid, meaning that the goy is not going to hold on to the wine. I mean, sometimes when you go out and sell, like vendors go out and sell, what you do is you make the vendor pay for all the merchandise he takes, and then when he comes back, he either gives you money or the merchandise back. Here, the goy is saying to him, take it, and you'll pay me after you sell it. But the fact that he says it's if he received the money means that the guy is not going to withhold the wine to receive his compensation to his money. And then if the guy says, pay me first and then take the wine, means that he feels balut over the wine. If he feels balut over the wine, we're afraid that he touched it. So that's, again, the differentiation that we made yesterday. That was the Gemara wanted to explain this idea, the difference between a directed collateral that Shmuel says versus broader collateral. So if it's directed collateral and he exercises balut over it, then it's problematic. So Rashi combines the two and says that you don't need a mafteach and a chotam. The Bach yesterday, it's a Bach, the Amud Bet yesterday, and Dalit, oh Dalit, the middle, he points out obviously this problem in Rashi. He says, Mikom Mokom, Svirle the Rashi, the Sefer Mari Betarte Mile. It says that this Sefer of our mission is talking about two different things. Ulet Stodim, and there are two cases here. Echid de Munach Babayt Abtoch, the Rishut Arabim. If it's in a house that's open to Rishut Arabim, Kiritani Ratio, like the first case, Vafilu Ein Mafteach for chotam. Then he doesn't require mafteach and chotam. Ubayim patuach l'rishut rabim. In a case where it's not patuach l'rishut rabim, which is what he's talking about here on the Amud Bet, then he says mafteach l'chotam. That's the Bach solution. The Bach solution to the steer in Rashi is that there's different cases. In a case where it's open to rishut rabim, you don't need mafteach l'chotam. In a case where it's not open to rishut rabim, then you do need mafteach l'chotam. It's either or. That's the Bach solution. The Tosafot is going to take a major issue with Rashi, which is because of what the Gemara says now. So let's read the Gemara and then we'll come back. Zebir shukula ovde chavim nami. Even in a non-Jewish city, vayka rochlim machzirin ba'ayirot. Don't you have the perfume sellers that go around the city? I mean, there are Jewish perfume sellers that are itinerant merchants, and they're going into each cities and selling. Now, true, there was a tekanat to Ezra that they should go around to the Jewish cities in order to ensure that the women had what they needed to be beautiful and please their husbands. But nevertheless, he's on his route, so he also enters into these non-Jewish cities as well. So if there are Jews passing through, why isn't that sufficient? Or it says, Amashmo b'ir sheish la daltayim ebriach. It's a city that has a doors and a lock. And doors and a lock means that nobody enters a city without the knowledge of the people of the city. You have to get permission to come in. You announce that you come in. In that case, you've lost this mirtat. Because if he's going to be known when he enters the city, then the goy knows when to be careful. The idea of Rishut Rabim is that you never know who's going to be there. And that's what creates the fear. Over here, if he has knowledge, pre-knowledge of coming in, then that's an issue. This was an issue also when they dealt with some of the tuna fish issues many years ago, which is that they were processed on islands. And the only access to the island was by helicopter. So if you come in, they had always announced when people always knew when someone's coming in because of the helicopter landing. So that might have lost some of the factor of Yotzei v'Nichnas, so the fear factor that comes with somebody coming in. If you always know when they're coming, you've lost that fear factor. Now, Bamar of Yosef, this is a very important thing. V'chalon k'rishut harabim domi. Right? A window has the same status as a Rishut Rabim. Rashi brings down two interpretations here about what a chalon is. Look in the Rashi of chalon, Rishut Rabim. It says, one possibility is, afilu bayit patuach l'chatzer, v'chalon patuach l'chatzer b'Rishut Rabim, k'neged petach habayit. Command patuach l'Rishut Rabim domi. So that one possibility is, there's a chalon into the chatzer from the Reshut HaRabim opposite the doorway. So that's as if the doorway was open to the Reshut HaRabim. Since the Reshut HaRabim could look through, even though it's open to a chatzer here, but since there is a window in the chatzer that opens to Reshut HaRabim, that's opposite the doorway, it's as if the doorway is literally open to the Reshut HaRabim. Lashon Acher, the other possibility is, Chalon Shel Yisrael, Fatuach Cheneged Petach HaBayit, Kereshut HaRabim Dami. The Jewish house next door has a window that looks over the doorway of the Goy. Because what we're afraid of, he's afraid of a Jew seeing him. So either we have the window to the Reshut HaRabim looking at his doorway, or we have a window from a Jew's house looking over there. Either one of those provides a certain amount of mirtat. And Tosfos points out, or qualifies that, that it's only true during the daytime. That the chalon will only happen during the daytime when, or maybe even the petach patuach Reshut HaRabim helps in the daytime when there's traffic, when there are people that are coming at night, where nobody's looking out, or in their day where there was no street lighting, then you couldn't really see what was going on, that you don't no longer have that factor, you no longer have that fear factor that is involved. Obviously this has implications with regards to Yichud. The same idea of Yichud where Petach Batuach Reshut HaRabim is one of the heterim by Yichud, says that there is no longer Yichud because of the Mirtat factor. In addition, we would say the same thing by Chalon Reshut HaRabim. The same way that Chalon Reshut HaRabim here provides that same protection for the Mirtat factor, so too for Yichud, the Chalon Reshut HaRabim will provide the same type of balance. And also other things that we would ask him today, whether it's cameras and webcam, things like that, that may provide open access or a fear factor that someone would be seen, that might be enough to stop or to prevent the problems of Yichud. Now, Vashpa, a garbage dump, Kirishut HaRabim Dami, because people come there, frequent the garbage dump, and that has a din of Bishut HaRabim, but Dikla, a palm tree that has dates on it, also Kirishut HaRabim Dami, because again, anybody could walk in when they want to pick up their dates, and they might be looking into his doorway. Pasig Reshe, so here, not Psik Reshe that we know from the Gemara and Shabbos, where they cut off the head of the chicken. Over here, the Psik Reshe is that the date trees, the top of the date tree was cut off, so it was no longer providing fruit. Pligi bar Rav Acha, Ravina. Chad Asar, v'chad Shari. One says Mutar, one says Asur. Mando Asar, Lamalei de Soli Kotam. Right, the one who says it's Asur says, nobody's going to go there. The guy thinks, who's coming over here? The tree no longer bears fruit. There's no use for somebody to come over there. So now you lost this concept of Mirtat because he doesn't think anybody's going to come. Mando Shari, Zimna de Abdulay Behema. Sometimes his animal gets lost. He comes to look over there for his animal, since it's a public area. So maybe he'll end up. There are people who come in on occasion to come in there, and therefore the fear factor will remain for him. Tosfos asks a number of questions on Rashi, and they're pretty substantial questions. First of all, he says, Perish Rashi b'madura batra, which is interesting here. It was clear that Rashi had an earlier position that he changed that might relate to what we saw in the previous Amud. Not what the Bach says, but the previous Amud, Rashi did say he needs a mafteach and a chutam. All of a sudden here in the Mishnah, he says no longer needs a mafteach and a chutam. So Rashi, madura batra, gon shekotel v'tkabalti, davale yeno shel Yisrael. So Jew's wine, uchtani seifa v'avi seifa perusha d'resha. So what we explained before, that according to Rashi, the seifa is explaining the resha, the need for this hitkabalti, the idea that the Jew has free access to the wine. And number two is that you don't require chutam and a mafteach. So later on, if you skip down in the Tosfot towards the end of the narrowest of the lines, it says, V'hikshir Rabbeinu Tam. Hechi parech b'gemara. And it's going to ask a question. Ha'ika rochlina magzirim b'ayirot. That there are these perfume sellers that are going through the cities. V'chi ma'yadu'u ha'rochlim. Shi'u ha'yayim b'beitosho v'dechavim. The wine is now sitting in a non-Jewish home. How would they have any idea that this wine belongs to a Jew, below mafteach v'chutam, shu shel Yisrael? Unless there's a key lock and a seal that says it belongs to a Jew, that he would be afraid of taking it or touching it. I mean, according to Rashi, why would somebody walking, a Jew walking through a city, have any concept that this wine belongs to a Jew, that the guy would be afraid to go into that room and start playing around with the wine or touching the wine? Why we're afraid? Because the Jew will see him. But a Jew has to know that the wine is Jewish wine. How would he know? Without a mafteach, without a chutam, there's no reason for him to believe or know that the wine belonged to a Jew. Why is there any fear factor whatsoever? And then if you skip down to the widest lines in the Tosfos, the second widest line in the Tosfos, oh, might be fresh Gemara, either Tanakam or the Rishim ben Lazar, which we're going to get to in the Gemara. a city that's completely non-Jewish. There they're discussing, the Gemara is going to discuss the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Elazar, where you are mafkid, the wine. Instead of putting the wine in a Jew's wine in the Obed Chavim himself, who owns the wine's house, they put it in a third party Obed Chavim's house. Is that mutar? Is that asur? So the Gemara says, wait, oh, it is asur because mutar mishum Obed Chavim acher mirtat. The other Obed Chavim creates fear. Says, what type of fear is there? What's the fear factor here? What do we care about the mafkid? The goyim put it there. The one who has the wine in his own possession. Now he's the one watching it. He himself could be pouring it as yayin nasech. Why don't we worry about his magah? There's no seal on it. There's nothing on this to identify that somebody tampered with the wine. Why are we not worried about the person who's watching the wine? Forget about the one who owns the wine, but the guy who put it there, but the other guy who's now watching it, we should worry about him. Why should there be any mirtat here if there's no maftach and chotam? So that's the Rabbeinu Tam asks these questions, and then for the Rabbeinu Tam says, the chen yirah the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that he believes, the amid mishnantenu b'yesh maftach v'chotam. That there is a case of chotam, v'chen perish Rashi, perishim rishonim. In Rashi's original perishim, that's what he said. It's nothing to do with getting the second half of the mission that I got permission for the wine to be taken at any time. So now, if there's maftach b'chotam on it, then that's the chiddush over here. Why is he afraid? The fear factor is that he has to be mezayif, that he has to forge the chotam on the barrel, which is a significant amount of work. And when he's going around forging and putting a seal on the barrel, that is something that will indicate that he's tampered with it, and that's something if someone's passing by will take note of. Oh, there's a seal on the barrel, he undid the seal, he's redoing the seal. That is something that will identify it as Jewish wine. If it's Jewish wine and he's tampering with it, then he'll have a fear factor of a Jew passing by. And that's why even in a city that's completely made up of non-Jews, if there's a maftech and a chotam, you can be matir for the ruchlim. And also, another chatzer was placed in another chatzer, even though there's no petach patuach l'rishut rabim, but in a city that's all non-Jewish, even when there's a maftech chotam, it doesn't help. Meaning that maftech and chotam only help to the point that we're found in an area where Jews will pass by. But if there's no access to Jews, whether it's in a chatzer acheret, whether there's no petach patuach l'rishut rabim, then even a maftech and chotam will not be sufficient. Because since he did not write hitkabalti mimcha, it becomes fully fledged the Obed Kochavim's wine. If it's his wine totally, then he doesn't feel any fear factor. He's not going to worry about being caught. Whereas if he writes hitkabalti, and the wine really belongs to the Jew, then a maftech and chotam is enough. Because he also has that additional factor. He has the additional factor of that he received it, or the goy thinks that it belongs to the Jew at this point in time, and therefore he'd be reticent to tamper with the wine. When it's in the possession of the non-Jew, you either need a petach reshut rabim, you need Jews passing by, or you need the hitkabalti to overcome the problem of being in the possession of the non-Jew. Maftech v'chotam is a given. You need that in both instances. Now, if it's in reshut Yisrael, if it's in a Jewish possession, that has the equivalence of being chotam and maftech. You won't require maftech and a chotam be a dough when it's in a Jew's possession, because the Jew is the equivalent of having a maftech chotam. So then when it's in the non-Jew's possession that we have to worry about it, and then we have a maftech chotam, plus you need a fear factor. So the fear factor can either be provided by petach b'tuch l'shut rabim, or it can be provided by the fact that it's hitkabalti, that he writes that it's the Jew's wine, basically, and that provides the fear factor. And we're going to see in the Braita that if they're a Jew who lives in the same chatzer as the guy, that might replace Mafteach and Chotam. And that's because we saw in the first part of the Mishnah, says you have a Shomer who's Yotzei v'Nichnas, even an Ir Shekulo v'Chavim, that's sufficient. So we said before that Mafteach and Chotam are necessary when it's in the possession of the guy, but there is no Shomer. Over here, once you have a shomer there, when there's a Jew living in the chatzer with him, then you will no longer require maftech chotam, because that's as if it's in the Rishut Yisrael. It's the equivalent of being in the possession of the Yisrael, and you won't need a maftech v'chotam. And then towards the end of the Tosos, they have a case, real case law, which is mitchila yirvin otam rotzeh le'asor otam ayinot, shkonim obdechim in Yisrael. They used to buy Jewish wine, omolichim otam makom azol makom ayoker. So buy from the Jew and then go take them to places where they would sell it for higher prices. And this was a non-Jew buying the wine off the Jew and then taking it to those places. that afal pi shemachtimim otam chotem betoch chotem, they do a double seal on the barrel. Mechavit malei chashukim v'shulayim kfulim. It has bands around it. It has a double base on it. Mitzadzeh, mitzadzeh. It's a base on both sides. All these protections so that there's no way you could tamper with it. He wanted to be osir if based on our gemara over here, which is that if the goes into the possession of the goy, then you have a problem when it's an ir shekula of the chavim. Unless you have either a petach petuach the shuter abim or yisrael rochlim nabayim, or you have it the case of hitzkabalti, and you don't have that in this case. Because he said, number one, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer that one chotem is sufficient. Therefore, making a double chotem, a chotem to chotem, is no better than a chotem echad. So the double chotem doesn't afford any additional protection that is not afforded by a single chotam, by a single seal on the barrel. So that doesn't add anything here. And then we have our Mishnah. And our Mishnah says, once it goes into possession of the goy, it's problematic. But then, vacher kein matzat tam hatir. So then the Rabbeinu Tam came around and said, I found a reason to be matir these types of transactions. The dafka matir yenosho b'chachim. That only in a case like our Mishnah, where it's matir yenosho b'chachim over here, where the Jew does all the work in order to make sure that the wine is done b'tahara, to be sold to another Jew. In that case, we worry about the goy touching it and being mafsid the yayin. Because over there, what's the goy going to think? He said, did the goy put any effort into this wine? The answer is no. He hired the Jew on consignment to do the to make the wine and then sell it, and then he'll get the profit. But he himself exerted no effort in the wine. Therefore, he feels less reticent to touch the wine because the loss here, yes, he may lose money, can't sell it at a higher price. But on the other hand, he didn't expend so much effort that he's going to feel bad about it. Whereas in the case here where the Yomik Chavim is traveling with the wine from this location to the more expensive location where they can sell it at a higher price, and he's going to make money, he's the one who put in all the Torah. He's the one who made all the effort to do this. So therefore, when we talk about Mefsidna, when he's going to lose out here, then there's a big loss for him, because not only is he going to lose the money that he can't get, he's going to lose all the effort that he expended or invested in traveling with the wine and bringing the wine to the other location. And because of that, there's a deterrent for him to touch the wine. And because of that, the chotem over here will be sufficient, even though an ear, shekulo of the chavim in a sense, because he has possession of it entirely at some points in time. Nevertheless, because of this additional fear factor of losing the whole thing and losing all the effort that he expended, then the chotam will be sufficient over here. And based on this, it's a great line, Dina Tosas Akein, Asmach Heter Zeh. Based on his heter, there Rabbeinu Tam, he was posek halacha, and he did what he said in Pesach Halacha. He wasn't just one made skolas and then let other people do it, but he didn't do it himself. He's machmir on himself. No. Based on this, he gave a heter to the people. He did this. Asmach Heter Zeh, Shota Yain Shuva, Me'al Tziria, B'zeh Yinyan. I don't know where this place, I don't know if he's talking about Algiers, but there was wine that was brought from a location in this manner, and the Rabbeinu Tam himself drank it based on his own Pesach Halacha here lahatir. It's amazing, again, amazing to see the Halacha alive. In Tosafot, here the Rabbeinu Tam again giving a heter, and he himself using the heter to drink the wine as evidence that he was somich on this heter, in the end differentiating between a goy who expends effort versus a goy who hasn't expended any effort, whether we're chosheish, even with a chotam on the barrel, whether the goy will be mizliyef and touch the wine or drink from the wine, and they differentiate between our Mishnah where there was no effort expended versus the case that was asked of him where the goyim were traveling with the Jewish wine where they did expend effort and therefore he was matir that wine versus our Mishnah was not matir even with the case of a chotam. Okay, now we're going to continue in the Gemara with a braito, and this braito again, we'll expand on our mission and help us understand it better. The Tosafot, we saw, quoted it a little bit before. One who purchases or rents a house in the Chatzer Rechavim, and he filled it with barrels of wine. Israel dar b'oto Chatzer mutar. And a Jew lives in that Chatzer, mutar legarve. Even though there's no mafteach chotam protecting those barrels, the fact that a Jew lives in that location, that's enough. Again, Tosafot spent time explaining why, even though he reads our Mishnah as being a case of mafteach v'chotam, how come when we have a shomer yotze v'nichnas in the Mishnah, that's talking about a case that's not with a mafteach chotam, that a shomer is sufficient even without a mafteach chotam. That's probably what drove Rashi the other way, which is based on this line in the Braita. It sounds like You don't need a mafteach chutam if you have a shomer. And our mishnah is a case of shomer. That's probably what drove Rashi to say the mishnah is a case of ein mafteach mechutam. Obviously, he runs into the problems with the other issues. The Rabbeinu Tam explains it that there is a mafteach chutam, solves all the other issues, and that the brought up the questions brought up. But he does have a problem in the mishnah, which is why do is a shomer in yotzei b'nichnas not require mafteach mechutam? And that Tosfos spent over time over here explaining how to read the mishnah. The mishnah is talking about an ear shekulah of the chamim. And teach you the Chiddush in the ear shekulah of the Chavim, that a Mafteach HaKotam is not sufficient. But then when it moved over to Shomer again, it went to the point where it wasn't talking about Mafteach HaKotam anymore. Right now, the next piece of the Braita. B'chatzer Acheret. If it's in another Chatzer, Mutar. I mean, a Chatzer Acheret means that a Jew lives in a neighboring Chatzer, not in the Chatzer itself in which the wine is stored. That's only if you have a Mafteach Chutan. The Jew being in the other Chatzer, alright, provides some protection, but not enough protection that he doesn't require Mafteach Chutan. Now, Hamater Yeno Shalom Dechavim, like our Mishnah, Birshuto, Yisrael Darba Oto Chatzer. Now, it's in the Rishut of the other Chavim, now after the Jew worked the wine to make sure that it was kosher, and Yisrael lives in that Chatzer, Mutar. That's Mutar, but there's Vahush Mafteach Chotam Biyado. That's the case where you require a Mafteach and a Chotam Biyado. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Latana Tnei. This Tana amend the Braita. It reads wrong. What do you mean, Mahusha Mafteach Chotam Biyado? If Yisrael lives in that Chatzer, you don't require Mafteach Chotam. So he says, amend it to read, Achopisha ain't Mafteach Chotam Biyado Mutar. But even there is no Mafteach Chotam, it is Mutar in that case, because there is Yisrael living in the Chatzer. The Chatzer Acheret, if it's another Chatzer, Asur. Achopisha Mafteach Chotam Biyado, Divrei Rabbi Meir. If he lives in another Chatzer, it's Asur, according to Rabbi Meir, even if he has a Mafteach Chotam Biyado. Chamim osrim adjei shomer yoshev umishamer. Chamim are osir until there's a shomer sitting there and watching. Oh, adjei mimuneh b'alikitzin. By somebody who comes in on a regular basis on a fixed schedule. So now everyone wants to know, Chamim, ahai. On what part of the breito are the Chamim commenting? Ilema seifa. If you're talking about the seifa, tanaam kama nami meisar ka'asar. Even Rabbi Meir is Oser in the Seifa of the Breita. Rabbi Meir says it's Asur. Chatzer Acheret, if a Jew in another Chatzer, even though there's Mafteach Chutam, here is where the Jew was Meteir, the Yenosh of the Chavim, Rabbi Meir says Asur. So why the Chamim come and want to say Asur? That's what he holds. Rabbi Meir already says Asur. Ela Aresh of the Seifa. The case before that is where the Jew lives in the same Chatzer, but we require a Mafteach and a Chutam. Baha, Kamalei Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan already explain in that case the Tana Tznei? Rabbi Yochanan says, amend the Braita to read, Avo Pisha in Mafteach Chotam Biyado. So that Rabbi Yochanan said in that case, you don't require a Mafteach and a Chotam in that case. So why, if he's amending the Braita, why the Chamim, if the Chamim were saying otherwise, that you do require, why is Rabbi Yochanan coming along and say, you don't need a Mafteach and a Chotam? So we can't be commenting on that, but it's Ella, a Sefer Derasha. They're in the latter half of the first case in the Braita. To come out on a Kama, the Tanka says, B'chatzer Acheret, if the Jew is in another Chatzer, Mutar. V'hu, Shemafteach v'chotam biyado, as long as there is a seal and a key in the hand of the Jew. Chamirim lo masur achei shomer yoshev v'mishomer. Then you know, you can't. When the Jew's in another Chatzer, that's not enough. You need actually a shomer sitting in that Chatzer. Oh, achivu memuneh v'alikitzin. Or you have a mashkiach who comes on a regular schedule. Or it says, Munah b'alikitzin griyutahu. The mashkiach comes on a regular schedule, that's even worse. Then the goy knows exactly when not to be there, because he knows when he's going to come. Now it's the other way around. If somebody brings a shomer that comes on an irregular schedule, it's on an irregular schedule, then he never knows when to watch out. And that's the fear factor that we're trying to generate over here. So we had four cases in the Braita. The latter two cases really are parallel in some way to our Mishnah, which is Hamatahir Yeno Shal Obi Chachamim. There's the cases where he worked the wine of the Obi Chachamim, but the wine does work with belong to the Obi Chachamim. Bishuto, and it's left in the possession of the Obi Chachamim. But Yisrael Adar Boto Chatzer. If you have Yisrael that's living in the Chatzer, he's the equivalent to a Shomer Yotzei V'Nichnas. And we saw back in our Mishnah that Shomer Yotzei V'Nichnas, you don't require Mafteach v'chotam, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan did to amend the Braita to say that you don't require Mafteach v'chotam. When you have Yisrael living in the same Chatzer, even though it's the quote-unquote the Goy's wine that the Jew is being Mitaher, nevertheless it's fine because he has a Yotzei V'Nichnas. Yotzei V'Nichnas, you don't require Mafteach v'chotam. In the latter half of that, the Seifa of the Braita, over there, the Yisrael is not living in the Chatzer. Yisrael is not living in the Chatzer, and it's equivalent to the case of the Mishnah. Then here, you will require a Mafteach V'Chotam. Now, Mafteach V'Chotam is not sufficient, as Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Meir says that that won't be enough, because you're lacking some sort of fear factor. You have the Mafteach V'Chotam, but where's the fear factor here if the Jew lives in a Chatzer Acheret? So therefore, you would require some sort of shomer, or some sort of petach v'tushu l'chlishut rabim, some other factor that creates the fear over here that's non-existent. If we go back to the Reisha cases where it's a Jew's wine being placed in the area that is, or the chatzer of a chachavim. So again, if you have a case where there's a Jew that lives in that chatzer, and we don't even require a mafteach and chotam, because it's the Jew's wine, so that's one factor. So then, and number two is we have a shomer, yotzei mechnas, because the Jew is living in the chatzer. So there we won't require a mafteach and chotam. The latter case of the reisha, which is where the Jew lives in another chatzer. So over there, this is where the machlokas between the chachamim and the Tanakama comes up. The Tanakama says there's enough mafteach chotam, even with the Jew with another chatzer. Even though the Jew's not in this chatzer, but he's in another chatzer, we have to assume that at some point, or sometimes he enters into this chatzer, and therefore it's protected enough. Let me say, what are you talking about? If he doesn't live in the chatzer, you've lost your fear factor. But if you lost your fear factor, you need a mafteach and a chotam, plus some sort of shomer. Some sort of shomer in order to protect the situation over here, because he's not someone who lives in the chatzer itself. Alright, now we'll continue with this section of the Mishnah about Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar married Rishuto of the Chavim Achati. It's one. So, I buy Lu. Rav Shimon ben Elazar the Hakel or the Hachmir? What is Rav Shimon ben Elazar coming to do? He's coming to make a Kula or he's coming to bring a Chumra? Rav Yehuda or Ziri the Hakel? Rav Yehuda says the name of Ziri that it's became the Hakel. Rav Nachman or Ziri the Hachmir? It's a Machlokas of the Marim, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, about what Ziri said. Was it the Hakel or Hachmir, Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Yehuda or Ziri the Hakel, what's the case? Vachigamar. Tanakama, kishem shibirshuto asur, kach birshut ovei kochavim acher nam yisu. Just like in the possession of this guy who owns the wine, it's problematic if you leave it there. So too, if you leave it in another non-Jew's possession, it's also asur. V'chayshin on the gomlim, and we worry about collusion between these dovei kochavim. Where that they collude, and he says, look, you'll tamper with the wine here, and I won't say anything to the Jew. And you'll scratch my back when I put wine with you from a Jew. Also, you'll let me tamper with it, and you won't say anything. So we worry about this collusion. Then Rav Shimon Elazar comes along and says, "B'med v'ayim amarim b'rishuto." That's only true in the rishut of the Ovi Chachamim himself. Aval b'rishuto b'chachamim acher mutar v'lo chayshin in the gomlin. Places in another non-Jew's possession, that non-Jew wants to keep up his nemanut, and we don't worry about collusion over here, and therefore he will tell the Jew if somebody tampered with it. So that makes it work. According to Rav Shimon Elazar, that's Rav Shimon Elazar l'hakel. The other end, Rav Nachman Rezir, Amar l'hachmer, v'siz achi kamar tana kamla. This is what the Tanakhama says. B'med v'ayim amarim b'rishuto. That's only true in the Rishut of the Ovi Chachamim himself, who owns the wine, then it's problematic. Aval Rishut Ovi Chachamim Acher, if it's in another non-Jew's possession, mutar. V'lo chayshin in the gomlin. We don't worry about collusion. Shimon Elazar Amar, Kol Rishut of the Ovi Chachamim Achati. All of the Chachamim have the same din, they're all one, and therefore we worry about it. You can't, even if you put it in another non-Jew's possession, that is also problematic. And Tanya, Kavate, the Rav Nachman HaMizri, we have a position that, a brayta that supports this understanding of Rav Shimon Elazar, that Rav Nachman says it's the Achmir, because it says, I'm Rav Shimon Elazar, Kol Rishut of Echim HaChatchi, that's the quote from our mission as well, Mipnei HaRamayim, because of the cheaters. So it's exactly that. What's the problem? The problem is that we worry about collusion, we worry about cheaters, and that means Rav Shimon Elazar is the Achmer. He won't let you put the wine of the Ovi Chachamim in another Ovi Chachamim's possession. That is not afford you, does not afford you a protection whatsoever. Now, the Beit Parzak Rufila. So the Beit Parzak is the name of a person. We bumped into him before. He was a government appointee. He's a Mishneh Lamelech, or Sheni Lamelech. He's some sort of mayor or governor of the area, Persian government official, whose name was the Beit Parzak. We bumped into him before where he confiscated a bunch of wine. He walked off with a bunch of wine and then returned it later on. So a question if we have to worry about him touching it. So, Otivu Chamra Gabei Arisayu. They placed wine with the sharecroppers. Now, these are non-Jewish sharecroppers of the Beit Parzak Rufila. Of the Rufila, they worked for him and they placed it with him. So Rabbanan Kabei de Rava, the Rabbanan wanted to propose in front of Rava, the Meimar Ki Chayshin and the Gomlim, when do we worry about collusion? Hani Milehecha Dekam Motiv, Hai Gabei Hai. That's when they're on equal level. They have equal social standing. So when they have equal social standing, you know, you'll scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That applies. So you worry about collusion of a hocha. Kevin darisa lav darchelo dvei beparzak rufila. The sharecropper is never going to put wine with the government official. I mean that the government official will use the sharecroppers to his benefit, and he'll place wine with them to watch. On the other hand, the sharecroppers don't have so much wine. They don't feel comfortable. They're not going to go ask the Mishnah Lamelech to watch their wine for them. That's just not a two-way street. So therefore, gomlin lo chayshin, and we don't worry about this collusion. So Amar Rav Rav says, no. You know why? Adrav, afilu manda amar lo chayshin in the gomlin. Even according to the manda amar in Ziri, which is Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Ziri, says the Hakel, that says we don't worry about collusion. That's only when the third party has no fear of the one who owns the wine. Of a hocha came into mirta mine mechapiles chuta. That since they are afraid of the government official, they're afraid what he can do to them. They have a certain amount of fear of crossing the line in front of him. Therefore, if he comes in and tampers with the wine, they're not going to say anything to the Jew. They're too scared to say anything to the Jew, so they don't afford a possession over here. Forget about a collusion. We don't have to worry about them. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. The problem is that they're afraid of this, the Beit Parzak Rufila. Since they're afraid of him, they're not going to tell the truth when it comes to if he tampered the wine or went and accessed the wine. And therefore, Rabbi said it would be a problem. So how kracha? There was a city, Davayotiv Bei Chamra d'Israel. There was Jewish wine in that city. And Shtakach Ovid Chavim Davakai Beni Dane. They found a non-Jew hanging around amongst the barrels there. So Amar Rava, Im Nitpas Alav Kiganav, Chamra Shari. If he's found there, the government will prosecute him like a Ganav, Mutar. Ilo, if it's not that way, Asur. So Rashi says, if he's a Ovid Chavim Chalash, he's weak, meaning that he's not a person of official standing or not of an aristocracy that would people would be afraid of him. Then, v'yesh imat shoftei ha'ir alav. And he's afraid of the judges of the city. He's afraid of being taken to court or being caught being a criminal. So then, if they find him touching, or if they find him in the amongst the barrels, we know that he's afraid to touch it, because if he gets caught like a ganav, they're going to prosecute him. So therefore, the wine is mutar, because he's not going to touch it. On the other hand, if he doesn't have that fear effect, he doesn't have that deterrent, then the wine is asur. The Tosos explains over here, this how kracha, the yain was out on the street. Not about yain that's in a private domain, but rather it was out on the street. And there was yain shel ovdei chamim, but there were also non-Jewish wine in that area. If there's also non-Jewish wine and Jewish wine there, and it's out on a street, then when the individual is there, he's not going to be problematic in showing up. And the fact that he's just present there is not going to make someone suspicious of his actions. But when he touches it, there is this problem, because the wine is mutar. Even though his being there is not problematic, the fact is that if he touches the wine, someone will say something, it'll be nitpas kiganav. That's enough of a fear factor or deterrent that he won't touch the wine. Now, if, obviously, it's in a private domain, and when he entered there, if he would be charged as a criminal, or for trespassing, or for being a ganav, then certainly that's enough of a fear factor to make it mutar, because not only can he not touch it, he can't even be in the location where the barrels are. If he's caught in that location, he'll be considered a criminal. So that fear factor, again, will allow the wine to be mutar. Right, so this is the end of the perek. Rashi does something over here that is very interesting. Rashi does what equivalent to what we call pre-Shulchan Aruch. He organizes the halachot that are found in this perek into a summarized form at the end. So again, from here you see that it was forefront for them. These halachot were really practical, and they affected their daily lives, and therefore Rashi wrote up. It says, Maskona de Milta. Let me tell you what the conclusion is from this perek. Number one, Maga Ovei Kuchavim. We're talking about an Ovei Kuchavim that touches the wine. That is a Maga Ovei Kuchavim, that is Bikavana, intentional, kagon, shenit kavein liga, that he intended to touch it, or shichsheich, or he dabbled in it. Afal pishlo niseich, asur bana. That's asur bana. If he touches the wine with intent to touch the wine, right, that is asur bana, and that we know from the Mishnah of Dagardimim, Ovdei Chochavim. That's the case found back on Nun Chedem and Aleph with the inspector of the measurements over there that drills a hole in and tastes the wine. Over there, we had intention to touch the wine. It's clear that he intends to touch the wine, and he ends up coming into contact with the wine. There, it's asruhu, and that means asur afilu bihana'a. Then Rashi says, shalo bikavana, if he does not intend to touch it, Kagon, lohikir boshu yayin, as if he doesn't know that it's wine, mutar ba'ana. That we know from the brayta of Charam Obed Chachavim, the case of the Meshuga Baal Merivot Obed Chachavim, Chenafal the boar. Also in the case where he falls into the boar, Shalobi Kavanahu, Umutar Ba'ana. Both those cases is Mutar Ba'ana. V'chein, Nitkaven Nitol Davar Acher, he goes in to touch, to grab something else out. That we have by the case of Etrog the Ravash that fell in, and he went in to grab the Etrog. Shalobi Kavanahu, that's with no intent. Umutar Ba'ana. Therefore, it's Mutar Ba'ana. So in the cases where there's Mago V'chavim with intent to touch, in that case it's Asur Ba'ana. In the second series of cases, Rashi says that it's maga shelo binitkavin. It's a touching without intent for touching, either because he doesn't know it's wine, or because he's going in there to get something else like the etrog. In all those cases, it's oser b'shtia umutar b'ana. Now, maga b'chavim ayidei davar acher. The one touches the wine through another item, kagon b'kaneh, with a measuring stick or some sort of stick. Ano yodim shenitkavin ledavar acher. We know that he's intending to touch, do something else. He's not intending to touch the wine. He's intending to measure the wine or do something else. Like we have in our Mishnah, where he is doing the measuring, or he whacks a wasp down into it. In that case, mutar ba'ana. That case, mutar ba'ana means madnitan. But bikavana, if he does it intentionally, and we don't know what he intended to do, therefore it's asur ba'ana. And that is from the case of Uvda Dibiram. The Uvda Dibiram, which is the case where he came down the from the palm tree with the lulav in his hand, and he touched the wine, Eidei Davar Acher. Because there, Rav was matir, because it was done shlo b'kavana. The implication from that, if it was done intentionally, it's asur. So this happens to be that point, that pivot point between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi believes when you have Eidei Davar Acher, you also need shlo b'kavana. So this is the point between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi requires, in order for it to be mutar ba'ana, number one, it has to be davar acher, that he's touching it through another item, plus it should be shlo b'kavana, it must be without intent. So there the Rabbeinu Tam argued and said, no, you need one or the other to be mutar ba'ana. Either he touches like a day davar acher, even though he has kavana to touch, or he has negia mamash, but shlo b'kavana. Either one of those will be mutar ba'ana, asur b'shtia. Because Rashi says, no, those are even asur ba'ana. The only time it's mutar ba'ana is he has both, which is shalom itkavein, and it's ayidei davar acher. That's what Rashi quotes over here from the Masiv Biram, that's his conclusion, that you need shalom b'kavana, ayidei davar acher, to be mutar ba'ana. Now, koach shalom b'chavim, you have the koach of b'chavim b'chiburim, here where he's in direct contact with the item that he is pouring. For instance, he's pouring out the battle, orike, orike. There, he could have shol yayin. If he knows it's wine, then it's asur ba'ana. Asur ba'ana, because he's pouring out the wine, and he knows he's pouring out the wine. Therefore, it could be he's menasek the wine. Because that's what Rabbi Yochanan said in the case. So he says, go out and say that their yayin is like yayin nesech. When he went to, when that city that they visited, Gavlo, then he says that their wine was all yayin nesech. Lo yikir bo, if he doesn't know that it's wine and he's pouring it out, there it's mutar ach b'shtia. There it's mutar b'shtia. Ma'uvda, Rabbi Yochanan ben Arzav, Rabbi Yossi ben Norai. That they asked the waiter to come over and to pour the wine from them, and they didn't know. The chad shari, afilu b'shtia. One says it's mutar b'shtia, one says it's asur afilu ba'ana. So because the Chavim didn't know, and therefore we pass on the kula over there, then the Rabbonah, we pass on the kula, that it is mutar afilu b'shtia. Now, shlo b'chiburim, koach of the Chavim, when he's not direct contact with it, meaning he tosses the object into the wine, then it's mutar, even b'shtia. Then it's mutar b'shtia, afilu b'nitkabin, even if he has intent to throw it, he takes the barrel and he throws it into the boar. Over there, he's also mutar. Now Rashi does differentiate over there, which he doesn't mention over here, between how far away he is. If he throws it in when he's proximate, Rashi says we worry about him also touching the wine, and therefore would be problematic. Whereas if he throws from afar, then there's no problem. We saw there that Tosfos disagree with that there is no such differentiation between throwing from close by or throwing from afar. If he throws it, for sure it's mutar. The case there that we're talking about, and this goes back to Rabbeinu Tam l'shitato, that they put the barrel all the way into the boar and he pushed it. He threw it, rolled it all the way down and pushed it right into the boar. Over there we have the factor, or the fear, that he will come into contact with the wine. So if he does a b'chamato, then he has no intention, shalom b'kavana, we don't worry about it. Aval, if he does it without, when he's not in anger, he's controlled, and he does it intentionally, there you have manga, bikavana, so there it might be problematic. So that's Hakachagi Rav Pasach Halacha Lamaaseh. This is what the Rav, this is what Rashi wrote, and this is the Halacha Lamaaseh that came out of this parak based on Rashi. Okay, we'll stop over here.